I'm going to ask you some things. You're going to seem very strange to you. I just would like you to answer them truthfully.
Hello, and welcome to episode 44 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. And I'm Perrin Emeroff. That's one co-host, Angie Hahn.
It seemed for a second like you forgot my name. Hello,
it's
everyone.
It's like a little weird that we're in the same room. It always throws me off. And Christy, say hi.
Hi, guys.
Sorry, this is already like a total mess. All right, this week we are going to talk about three topics. The first one's going to be our Christmas gift or holiday gift recommendations. Then we're going to talk about Boyhood, and then we're going to finish up with Exodus, Gods and Kings. So first up is Christmas gifts, holiday gifts. I'm Jewish, but whatever. I don't know why I had to say that.
She wrote Christmas gifts in the show notes and have completely derailed Perry.
That's what I keep looking at, too.
I feel like, she's Jewish, but she'll accept gifts if you want to give them to her.
Yeah, that's a good way to break it down. I am accepting gifts if you'd like to send me Christmas gifts.
Santa wrapping, is that a problem?
I will take it. I like Christmas, even though Dewey knocks our little Christmas tree / Hanukkah bush off the counter all the time.
Is Hanukkah bush a thing?
Hanukkah bush is a thing. It's a thing in my family, at least.
I'm a Gentile. I don't know what that means.
It sounds like something that would be on the menu at a waxing salon. Is that so inappropriate to say?
I'm so sorry.
Why did I say that? Why did I say that? As soon as I said that, I was like, no. What are you doing?
Like in the shape of a menorah? Is that a thing?
I'm sure somebody somewhere has done it. I'm so sorry, everyone. We can get this has gone completely off the rails. Let's steer back.
So we're going to talk about our holiday gift recommendation, and I'm going to go first, and I'm going to say, I don't know how you're going to do this, to be honest, but my recommendation is Mondo posters, and it's a little challenging because, you know, what they do is they'll announce a new Mondo poster, and in case you don't know what a Mondo poster is, it is a poster for a movie that usually has already come out, and it's like a redesign of the poster by a particular artist. So it's normally like a really unique, fun, like really incredibly artistic, creative spin on a movie poster or just a movie in general that you love. And they're really beautiful designs. I'm obsessed with them. I have like 5 or 6 of them in the apartment, and I obsessively try to get them because the way Mondo sells the posters is, first, they do an on-sale announcement, so like you could see the design, you could see the price, and be like, ooh, that one's for me. And then what happens is the day after that, then all of a sudden, like randomly, at some point throughout the day, the Mondo Twitter feed goes, they are on sale now! Everybody pounce! And they just did that for the Home Alone poster, and I think there's something like 275 printed, and sure enough, I didn't get one. But if there's a Mondo poster out there, and you have someone who loves a movie or whatever, and they want to hang something up like that, I highly recommend it because they are stunning. And a TV show, too. I have a Game of Thrones one that I love, but usually they're between like $40 and $75, but you could find ones, like older ones, for movies that you love if you missed out on them on eBay and things like that. You know, they hike up the price quite a bit. I feel like over there they tend to range, you know, like $100 to $150, and it's a nice piece of art. So I think it's worth it. I love the Home Alone one. I have a Game of Thrones one, the Bridesmaids one. I got the Godzilla one at, what was it called? South By, and it was incredible. So, you know, I have a feeling that one of your favorite movies was turned into a Mondo poster, so go on eBay and find it. Who's going next?
I think it'll transition well into mine, because mine is actually, I think we all agree that it's really, like, I feel like people think, oh, you're a movie lover, you want DVDs, but, like, it's so hard to buy, in my experience. I don't want people to buy me DVDs because it's either for a movie I already have or that I don't want or that I just don't have space for, because especially in the age of digital, just don't get people DVDs if they're like obsessed with movies, is my opinion. I would recommend this book, which is The Art of John Alvin, and he made really incredible posters, including some of the most iconic ones you've ever seen. And it's really incredible. I got this from Titan Books, and I just keep looking at it, and it just makes me so happy. There's some really gorgeous sketches in here, and just kind of like here's a sketch he did of the Willow poster, and it's just gorgeous. I mean, like, you know, Perry was talking about the beauty of movie posters, and I feel like that's something that we can kind of snark at a lot nowadays when posters are reoccurring themes and actors' faces really big, but like these posters are just phenomenal looking, and there's ones in here for Jurassic Park and Alien and Little Mermaid and lots of Star Wars stuff. I'm trying to find the Little Mermaid one that really, oh, here's the sketch from the Little Mermaid one that I just can't get over.
I want to see the Jurassic Park one.
There's so many. It's pages and pages. Next time you come over, I'll let you look through this, because it's really incredible. There's a lot. Titan does a lot of really great movie books, and I've been lucky enough to get a bunch of copies of them. But the John Alvin one, I think, has been my favorite one this year. It's just really exciting to see art that was not only meant to promote, but also to inspire. And I think he just did an outstanding job with it. And they put together just a gorgeous coffee table book that, like, if you have a friend who loves movies, you know, I would totally recommend The Art of John Alvin.
Cool. I want to see it.
I feel like now the Reading Rainbow music should play. Like, dun-dun.
Well, whoever's editing the episode, that's your cue. All right, Angie, what do you got?
So I don't actually... Maybe I shouldn't recommend something that I don't already own, because I can't vouch for, like, whether it's as awesome as I think it's going to be, but I will say that as a movie lover, one thing that I am kind of hoping someone will get me is this book called What I Love About Movies. I don't have the book, so here's the cover on my phone. And it was published by Little White Lies, and it's a bunch of, like, filmmakers and actors and such talking about what they love about movies, as the title suggests. And it's, you know, it's got, like, some really great illustrations from what I've seen, and it just sounds like if you're someone who loves movies and loves these people, it just sounds like such, like, a warm experience where you get to, you know, in your head at least, kind of geek out with them about, like, why we all love this thing so much. But the other one thing I wanted to say is that, contrary to what Christy said before, another thing that I would love if somebody got me is, like, I would love it if somebody shared with me a movie that they really love, like, their favorite movie, and then talk to me about why they love that movie, because I feel like it's such an intensely personal thing. Like,
I was just gonna say, you just got that, didn't you?
Yeah, because when you said that, like, we were talking beforehand, you were like, I would love for someone to tell me, like, to give me their favorite movie, and I thought you just meant being like, my favorite movie is this, and here's why, and I was like, I would like a real present. I don't know what you're talking about. So now I just got that.
No, I mean, like, what I meant is more, like, I don't know, I didn't mean that, like, this is my favorite movie and I want people to give me more copies, because Lord knows I already have enough copies of that. It's just more that I think that talking about movies with someone, especially something that they feel really, really strongly about, something that's their favorite movie, is so intensely personal, and I think that kind of sharing that experience with someone and talking to them about it is not actually unlike the book that I was talking about. It's just something that will bring you closer together. And I feel like if it's someone you care about and you talk to them about it, it can be a really nice moment.
Oh, you're just the sweetest one of the bunch.
Yeah, that you did not expect that coming from me after I recommended Bad Santa. Yeah, right?
Ha!
All right, so there are your holiday gift recommendations. And now let's move on to the movies of the week. We are going to start with Boyhood. And Angie's taking that.
This actually is a pretty good transition, because this is not my favorite movie of all time, but it is actually my favorite movie of the year. So Boyhood is the latest movie by Richard Linklater, and it was shot over 12 years. He like literally cast this like a 6-year-old or something, and then every year would meet up with this kid for a few days or a few weeks and just kind of like film it a little bit at a time for 12 years. So he accumulated 12 years of footage into one like normal feature-length movie.
But it is narrative. It's not like a documentary where they actually follow.
It's not a documentary. I think he has said that it's like based a little bit on whatever's going on in that kid's life, but he said that, like, you know, he had already had most of the, it's not a plot heavy movie, but he had like most of the major points kind of already figured out, and like it's yeah, as Christy pointed out, it is not a documentary. I love this movie. I think that while I was actually watching it, I was kind of just like, oh, okay, this is, you know, this is pleasant. But then like afterward when I was watching the movie, after I watched the movie, I couldn't get it out of my head. And I walked home from the theater, and I just was, like, started weeping, like, 2 minutes after I left the theater. So then I was just this, like, crazy-looking person, like, walking down Fourth Avenue, like, sobbing.
And you were just like, I'm walking home and crying, and I was like, what is happening? And you were just like, I just saw Boyhood, and I was like, okay.
But the thing is, it's not a sad movie, it's just that it's really emotional. What I love about this movie is, that it's not really a movie about, like, if you're like, oh, we're going to cover, like, you know, someone's life, I think that a lot of times the automatic instinct is like, okay, we'll cover the big moments, we'll cover, like, the graduations, like, the, you know, the first kiss, like, first date, like, you know, things like that, like, the moment you get your license, like, you know, things like that, but this movie isn't really that. It just kind of, like, it hits on some of those, like, there's, like, a graduation party and stuff, but a lot of it is just moments of him just kind of, you know, sitting on his computer or, like, fucking around with his friends or, you know, hanging out with his dad or something, and that's what I loved about it. It's, like, a movie that, it, it felt to me so much like how real life is actually lived, and like nothing really happens, but then before you know it, you've watched this kid grow from a 6-year-old to an 18-year-old, and you look back and you're just like, oh, I guess that's what life was.
No, I loved it. I think I'm with you on that. I was surprised by how kind of real it felt, and I lost sight of, like, I don't even want to call it a shtick, because I feel like that's a bad term, but the shtick of what he did and how he made this movie, I thought I was going to be kind of, like, hyper-focused on it, and that's not the case at all. I was just very invested in him as a person, and everything felt so real. I think I was a little more, I guess, I don't know, engaged, or I was more moved by it while I was watching rather than just after.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was very into it. I remember when the film came out, I just, like, I don't know, I just never had time to go to a screening, and then after that happened, it's like, when am I going to find 3 hours to spare? And I was finally on a 6-hour flight, so I had nothing else to do but watch this 3-hour movie, and that flight flew by. Fun. So freaking fast, and I just loved it. I wanted more of this kid's life after. I wanted, like, now when I'm thinking about it, I want to see, like, the in-between moments. I want to know what happens when he goes to college. And
it kind of made me wish that
your face, I see you.
I feel so bad because I'm totally the odd man out, and I'm like, I don't want to crap all over the movie you guys like so much,
no,
but I don't fucking get it. I don't get it. I watched it yesterday. I in this insanely busy week, I chiseled out 3 hours to watch this movie, and I had heard so many great things, and I was kind of like, this? Like, it was like Arrested Development, like, her? Like, that, I don't get it. I think that the movie is fine, but, like, the main kid I didn't find terribly interesting. I thought, like, his sister was at least a little more, had more energy. I thought his mom's story was more interesting, but he's so shitty to her. And I get it, because when you're, like, that age, like, everything's about you, and I understand that. But, like, I wasn't interested in him as a character. And then, moreover, I couldn't help but wonder, if it weren't for the gimmick of this, would people really be this impressed? Because, like, if you brought in and just cast kids and kids and kids, like, would this movie be that spectacular?
It's
just
funny. That's like, the exact opposite of what I just said. I thought that's what this movie was going to be, and that's it. But that's not the effect it had on me whatsoever, even though I am still very much in awe about how they went about doing this.
I mean, what I want to say about that is, like, I completely hear you with the gimmick, and I have heard other people make the same complaint. But to me, it was more than just a gimmick. It, like, you know, the passage of time, like, the passage of real time in this actor's life was, like, a tool that he used.
Yeah, and that's fine, effective. But it just felt like, to me, that was the only thing that stood out, because I felt like the story they tell is, one, so generic to me. It just seemed like the way they set up things, where it's like, oh, someone gives him a camera. Now he's, like, the next scene, he's really into cameras. Like, we never see that growth because of the way the film is structured. Or, for instance, here's, like, his stepdad taking Sprite and vodka, and then the next scene, his stepdad is super abusive. Like, there's no build to these things. It's like, here's the setup for it, here's the delivery. And I just thought, like, well, I mean, I get that technically it's incredible filmmaking because of the length of time in which they made it. But I feel like if you take that away, I don't get what's special about this.
I do understand what you're saying to a degree, but I think that once I got used to it, it almost didn't feel like that big gap there. Like, I didn't really notice a big jump with the stepfather's drinking. That kind of felt like a pretty natural transition. Like, they teased where it was going, that's where it went, and then I saw the effect of it. I don't know, I wasn't missing any of the middle part there. And, you know, the thing with, like, getting a camera and then a kid being obsessed with a camera, it's like those little details to me that's so real about life, you know? We don't need this big profound event or like an inciting incident to happen that launches you into the second and third act of a film. It was just, it was very real reactions to parts of life that I could relate to.
Yeah, Christy, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I think that one of the things I actually liked about the movie is, you know, so I guess I feel completely the opposite of you. I kind of like that it didn't be like, oh, you know, here are, like, these natural progressions and we're going to show you, like, every step and, like, explaining every bit of you. And to me, even that felt a little bit more like, this movie felt so much like real life. And that was part of it because, you know, in life, like, I'm not, like, watching myself, like, every step of the way, like, progressing along, you know, my career or, like, a relationship or something. Sometimes it's just the kind of thing where you, like, you know, you start dating someone and then suddenly you're like, oh, hey, you look back and you realize, oh, things get kind of serious or, like, something like that. So to me, that actually, It's not something that I think would work in every movie, but I liked it here. And the other thing is, I mean, to me, the way he filmed it, you could call it a gimmick, but to me it's so central that it's a little bit like being like, well, this comedy wouldn't work, though, if there were, like, no jokes, and it wouldn't be funny.
It's kind of the same idea of when you see a family member after not seeing that person for so long, and it's like, oh, you look so great. Like, it just has that same, like, very, like, genuine reaction to seeing someone who you haven't seen in a while and grow and, like, move in new directions.
At the same time, Christy, I hear what you're saying. Like, even while I was watching the movie, like, I was interested, but I was a little bit like, oh, okay, I wonder where this is going. And it was at the end when suddenly it was over, and then I looked back that I started to get, like, very, like, oh, my God, that was an experience.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. I don't get it. When the movie ended, I was just like, I was glad because I wasn't into it and it was over, but I was also just like, that's it? That's where we're at? Like, I didn't feel that this movie had a strong arc. It's not like, you know, this is a thing he wants when he's 6 and at 18 he figures it out. It just felt like they picked up out of nowhere and ended out of nowhere. Like,
I love that. Sorry, I don't know.
No, it's fine. And that's the thing, like, when I was watching it, I was like, shit, I don't like this. And I hate being the person, like, I know I'm a critic and that's my job, but I hate being the person to be like, oh, you really like this? Here's what's wrong with it. And it's, I actually feel bummed out. I feel like I'm outside on this one. Everyone else is like, oh, this movie's so amazing. Awards for people. And I'm like, I don't fucking get it. Like, they're like, editing awards and cinematography. And I'm like, I like the opening shot, but I don't know. And, like, Linklater's somebody I can kind of give or take. I love him. Yeah, his filmmaking doesn't generally, like, doesn't always speak to me. I like Before Midnight, but, like, yeah, this one just was, like, which I think is part of the reason that I waited so long to watch it, because, like, when I watched the trailers and everybody else was like, oh, my God, those trailers for Boyhood, I was like, okay, I don't get it, but, and I think, like, it's just, it was what I expected, which is just not something that speaks to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the opposite of you. Like, Richard Linklater is, I'm not going to say that every single one of his movies is my favorite movie or anything, but he's someone that I generally like a lot. Like the Before trilogy, I love. And it does a similar thing to Boyhood, but a little bit less naturalistic, where he uses, like, very real gaps in time to, like, kind of track this story, and the fact that it's real time gives it a little bit more weight.
All right.
So what?
So you recommend?
Boyhood?
Yeah.
Yes.
I recommend. 3 hours, though, right? It's worth it.
I think so, but, I mean, Chrissy makes a point. Like,
another face. I have a screen grab right there.
I mean, Chrissy makes a point that, like, if you're, like, not into this kind of thing, if you're like, Richard Linklater, you know, I don't have 3 hours, maybe it's not the movie.
But personally, I
love it.
Yeah, I feel like this is gonna be fun.
I think it will be nominated. Sure, good. I don't know. I feel like this is going to get nominated for Best Picture, and so a lot more people are going to go see it, and I feel like then a lot more people will be like me going, like, wait, what? Like, it's fine. I don't get it.
I will say I think you're the first person that I've encountered that doesn't like it.
I know.
Not to put your opinion down or anything, but I don't want anyone to get turned off. Go see it, please.
I fully admit I am in the minority. I'm thinking this movie's just fine.
So speaking of other movies Christy didn't like this week.
Spoilers. Yeah, spoiler. No, I mean, oh boy. Does anybody like this movie? Like, I'm not trying to be shady. Like,
Ridley Scott probably likes this movie.
I hope he does.
Does that count for anything?
Yeah, Perry didn't see this one because she's lucky. 25% is what it has in Rotten Tomatoes right now, so somebody liked it.
One out of four critics actually likes this movie.
What? That doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, sorry. Anyway, Exodus, Gods, and Kings. Exodus, Gods, and Kings is the story of Exodus. So it's the story of Moses as a grown man being told, hey, BT Dubs, Moses, you're not really a gypsum, you're a Jew, and having to, like, raise up and save his people from Ramses, who has enslaved his tribe.
You know who else is not really Egyptian? Everyone else in this movie, but we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that. Let's start off with the many things that don't work before we get to whitewashing. So this film... It's a big, flashy, biblical epic, which, like Noah, has lots of special effects and white men being strong and doing things and talking like this.
Does it
and
have with rock God. Monsters?
No.
No, but it does have God as a creepy child, which I feel like I didn't go
like
into
horror movie type kid.
Yeah, like I didn't go into this knowing it was a spooky kids horror movie, but it is. Like God shows up and he looks like an angry, pissed off little child, and he just keeps. He's also white, just so you know, and he keeps showing up and being like, Moses, you're not doing stuff fast enough, and they get into these like angry fights, and you're like, this is weird on
so
many levels.
To be fair, though, honestly, like, I wasn't on board with the kid thing at first, but the more I thought about it, the more I was like, but if you're going with the way God is written in this script, a like kid petulant. Is, like, the only thing that makes sense, because, like, for example, there's an argument where that God is having with Moses, where Moses, like, God is like, you need to do this, Moses, and Moses is like, what the fuck have you been doing for the past 400 years? And the kid's like, but I want
I wish that
now.
Were real dialogue.
And like, and
the dialogue
and
in this movie.
And to me, I was just like, I mean, I really, that's the only way I can make sense of the argument that they're having is that God is a small, bratty child.
Yeah, but I mean, that would show that the film has a sense of self-awareness, which it totally doesn't. Like, for one thing, the dialogue is atrocious.
To the point
where I kept laughing aloud, and I actually had to, like, swaddle myself in my sweater at one point because I knew I was going to laugh because they were doing a callback. And there's a scene, this is giving away nothing, where Moses is, like, betting his wife, and she's like, tell me how long you'll love me, and he's like, for always, and she's like, tell me when you'll leave me, and he's like, never. Beating up spoilers, total liar. But then, she looks at him and goes, proceed, which I couldn't stop laughing at, because what is that sexy? No, that's fucking weird. Anyway. But
Christy, consent is always sexy.
Thanks. Okay. I think we're pressing on. There's a line where, okay, so in the traditional Moses movies, he has that great line where he's like, let my people go. Christian Bale never gets anything that good. I don't even remember how he requests for the Jews to be set free, but the response from Ramses, and I wrote it down but I forgot to bring out my notes, was along the lines of, your request, financially speaking, is problematic.
Mm-hmm.
What?
That fits.
Like, and at one point someone says, you're delusional, and I'm just like, look, I don't have a problem with them speaking relatively modern, but when you say stuff like that, it just stands out and sounds awkward.
Well, the problem is that they speak like that sometimes, and then other times they do, like, the old-timey, historical, epic, biblical talk, and then other times they sound more naturalistic. Like, the script the tone is just all over the place, it's not just the script. Like, the performances, Joel Edgerton and Christian Bale are not in the same fucking movie. Like,
and
Joel
Edgerton is
Joel
Edgerton's movie, because Joel Edgerton's movie is campy and fucked up, and I kind of dig it. And, like, as Angie pointed out, okay, so we were watching the movie, and there's a scene where Joel Edgerton is playing with a giant pink or yellow python for no apparent
reason. Not a euphemism.
No. No. He's actually playing, and, like, my first thought was, like, oh, Britney Spears, I can't pay attention to the scene now because I'm distracted and laughing in my own head, though not allowed because I have a modicum of self-control. And then I pointed this out to Angie afterwards, and she said, yeah, and better yet, it's Slave for you, Britney.
I would love it if that was a self-aware thing, but I suspect it is not.
I don't think so. But then, like, Christian Bale is just doing his, like...
a lot of reasons to see this movie.
Oh, okay, no, it's honestly...
like Christian Bale on Neutral where he's just... sad and gravely talking and God and things and duty, and you're just like, I don't care, I don't
Christian
know.
Christian Bale is not good in this movie. There are, I swear to God, there are scenes where, you know how we were saying that Edgerton and Bale don't seem to be in the same movie? There are scenes where Bale does not seem to be in the same movie as himself. He'll, like, start out being in, like, a sweeping historical epic, like, old-fashioned, then he'll, like, suddenly be in, like, a indie romance or something, like, and then he'll, like, go back to, like, being in Batman. I don't even fucking know what he was doing here.
Oh, yeah.
His accent is all over the place. He's fucking British. It's a British accent. His accent was, like, everywhere.
How and some of the supporting people? Like,
oh, they are barely in it.
Aaron Paul?
Yeah.
No,
Sigourney Weaver is in this, but, like, saying that she's in this, like, I don't...
It's an
under five. She's basically like, here's some things I'm going to say and then never show up again. Oh, that's... Okay, so we also discussed briefly after the screening how this is kind of a trifecta because this movie is actually sexist, homophobic, and racist. It's just across the board. Because, for one, to the whitewashing point, there is no person of color who has a line of dialogue in this scene, in this movie. In this entire movie, everybody, even the tiny little parts of someone just being a servant, being like, oh, Ramses, what do you want? That's my impression of every character in this movie.
I think Ben Kingsley is, like, half non-white.
or something. Okay. That's
so
as
we'll close go Kingsley, as they get a half point. But yeah. Like Ewan Bremmer from Trainspotting is in this for some reason. Like, it makes so little sense. And like, I understand, I'm not saying I agree with the way he said it, but I feel like the point Ridley Scott was attempting to make in his horrible quote was that they, to fund a movie this big, they needed an A-list star that's known around the world. And most of those are white people because of many things, including institutional racism within Hollywood. What he said was shitty, but he had a point that actually has some relevance. Now, Christian Bale being cast makes sense. Every other person being white in this does not make sense, because who the fuck is Ewan Bremmer to most people? Sigourney Weaver's in it for 5 minutes.
Even Joel Edgerton. He's not like an A-list household name.
He's not a name. And like John Turturro as a pharaoh, what sense does that make? It's just, oh, and like Aaron Paul is in this. There's all these parts where you're like, this part could have gone to anybody. Like, they didn't need a quote-unquote name. And if you're trying to convince me that Aaron Paul has a lot of play in the box office, you're a liar or an idiot. Like, that's all there is to it. So that doesn't make any sense.
Yes. Can I talk about the sexism and the homophobia? Okay, so this is, so if you were like, I don't know if I'm going to boycott Exodus just because it's racist, guess what? Also sexist and homophobic. It's a movie where, like, the more evil a person is, the more they kind of read as, like, feminine. Like, they're, like, very, like, you know, dressed up. Like, and the most...
Like Britney Spears or just, like, women.
Yeah, they're, like, wearing lots of makeup, they're wearing lots of jewelry, where it's, like, all the good guys are, like, down-to-earth men who are...
And not just wearing it, but also, like, affectations.
That's
where
the
there's
thing.
A lot of, like...
The most... The person in the movie that you kind of, like, find the most, like, disgusting is Ben Mendelsohn being gay.
It is an offensive stereotype.
There's a scene where, like, so Ben Mendelsohn plays, like, one of the, like, the people who oversees the slaves, and then, like, Christian Bale goes and talks to him. By the way, even when Christian Bale thinks that he is royalty, he is not wearing, like, all the makeup and all the jewelry that everyone else
actually
wears. His is way toned down because he's the good guy.
Like, he wears armor and, like, glitz that way, but he doesn't do the eyeliner, he doesn't
do everything he's wearing is way less ostentatious. Like, the more decorated and, like, kind of feminine somebody looks, the more evil they are. And Ben Mendelsohn's character, like,
I'm sorry.
Said,
there's
what
cat, the fuck are
there's
you doing? Cat hair, like a big plume of cat hair.
No one else can see it.
No, it makes you look like my cat when he's, like, batting at sunlight. Anyway, so Ben Mendelsohn's character is a slave overseer, and then, like, Christian Bale goes and, like, confronts him about how he's, like, being terrible to slaves or something, and then, like, Ben Mendelsohn, like, gives Christian Bale, like, these, like, you know,
bedroom eyes.
Yeah, it's so, like, it's
and
so,
like, if there's anything I can do for you, anything.
Yeah, and it's the only indication in the movie that anyone is gay, and it's, like, kind of a moment where you're supposed to read it as, like, oh my god, how depraved is this person, which is pretty fucked up. And then, so that's just the male characters. The female characters who are in this are barely in it. Sigourney Weaver, as you said, is, like, an under five. The other, like, another major-ish female character is Moses' wife, who is just supposed to accept that Moses has, like, you know, come out of nowhere, come into her life, married her, had a kid with her, and then one day he's like, BT dubs, I didn't believe in God till now, but now I do, and I'm gonna leave. And he leaves, and he comes back, and
she's like, I'm on a holy mission, and she's like, time out, I need to talk to you about this. He's like, I don't have time.
Yeah, no, it's one of those movies where, like, the hero's like, I must go heroing, and the wife is like, oh no, baby, it's too dangerous, like, you can't do it, And of course, if the man wants to be a real hero, he can't listen
like,
to
you
the
almost
woman.
Died. Like, and
think
she says, you're probably.
The next episode is going
to
be an Exodus parody, and you two could just play all the parts.
I don't know. We're running out of time to talk about how shitty
Christy,
this movie
go
is.
Go Photoshop our heads. Your heads. Seriously. Photoshop your heads onto that poster with the two of them being like,
no, thank you.
Aw, come on.
I don't want to be attached to this movie. Like, it was such a weird experience because it's trying to be so big and bombastic, and it's so boring, and it's so
like
badly
it
done.
I feel like lurches drunkenly from plot point to plot point, too. Like, we talked about how in Boyhood I didn't mind that, but this is the kind of movie where it would make more sense if you saw how things progress. But no, there's like a point where, like, Christian Bale goes from one thing to another. In 9 years, they like yada yada the 9 years of just like dot dot dot. Anyway, it's 9 years later, and he's a completely
dot dot dot
person,
Ten Commandments. Like, dot dot dot. Like, you're like, what? Like, it's just so bizarre, and like, it's so sad because for those people that wanted to make the argument going in, like, oh well, I bet it wasn't about casting white people. I bet it was about casting the best people for the roles. First off, most of these roles you could have anybody play because they're so small, it doesn't fucking matter. And just second off, it's suspicious when, like in Noah, where the screenwriter was like, we thought it would be confusing if we had a mix of people of color, like, of different colors in here. It's like, okay, whatever. Like, in this one, they do have people of color, but only in the background, only playing servants, only playing, like, soldier number three that's not going to talk to anybody. So it stands out in a way that is disturbing.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
I mean, like, I would say boycott it if that offends you, and I always say that. If you think something's offensive, then boycott it. Like, speak with your money or lack thereof. But I would also say just avoid this movie because it's fucking terrible.
Yeah, I feel like you can boycott it because it's racist, sexist, and homophobic, and that's a great reason not to watch it. Another great reason is that it's just not that good. There were, like, maybe occasionally... I mean, it's clear that he put a lot of, like, time and effort and money into this, and there are a couple of shots where it pays off where it actually looks good. Also, I really like the font. Those are the only things I can say in favor of this movie.
Angie kept talking about how good the font was, the style of text. Oh, and then this is in 3D, which the only time I noticed that, legitimately the only time, was one part where Ramsay's accidentally spits while he's talking, and I was like, oh, 3D. But, like, beyond that, fucking Parting of the Red Sea doesn't look that interesting in 3D.
I noticed it was in 3D because the screen was always dark. But anyway, so overall, not recommended from me.
No. Yeah, no.
Well, I'm still going to see it for all the reasons that you guys just named.
Yeah, like, Perry, you also, like, get paid to write about things that are terrible in movies occasionally, so this is a good financial decision for you.
I do need movies to populate my worst of the year list, so
yeah,
maybe
I should
be seeing it sometime soon.
If you want to get drunk and go to a late screening with friends, that could be fun.
No, I don't. No, I don't think that would be fun. It's a really long movie. You'll fall asleep from being drunk. It's boring.
Yeah.
You guys are motivating. I'm still going to see it. All right. That's it for this episode of Popcorn and Prosecco. Christy's having a meltdown, but if you like what you see, keep checking us out on YouTube. We're also on iTunes, and we'd love for you to review, rate, comment, like us, all that good stuff. You can also like us on Facebook. We are on Twitter at Popcorn Prosecco. We have our own website, popcornprosecco.com, and then all three of us are all over the place as well. Christy, you want to go first?
Sure. I'm at Christy Puchko on Twitter, and you can find my career highlights, because I write for all over the web, at decadentcriminals.com.
Angie?
You can find me on Twitter at AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
And I'm on Twitter at PNemiroff, and I write for collider.com. So that's it for this week, and we'll see you next time.
I am the god! I am the god!